Hey everyone, I hope you're having a great day. It's Josh. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Life with Chapters. I am extremely excited for this week's, I don't know why I say this week's, like we do an episode every week, because we don't, but I'm really excited for this episode. It's something that when we, even at the beginning of planning this podcast, I told Abby would be something that eventually I think would make for a really good podcast, and that is Abby sharing a little bit of her story with, and you know, you guys have heard little bits in previous podcasts, but her story with eating disorders and mental illness, and just kind of her walk through adolescence and high school and college age, not college, but and so that's what we're doing. And so I wanted to not really be in this podcast, especially, oh, hi Lane. Especially because this is just really doesn't involve me as far as her story. And I thought about staying in and asking clarifying questions. And I think that kind of would take away from the power and the emotion of her story. Not that it's all bad, but it's just, it's heavy. And so I wanted to step away and let Abby take this. And so, and another cool thing, I'm sure she'll tell you, but it is National Eating Disorder Week. And so it just kind of felt like perfect timing. So I'm going to step away. Before I do, I told her as she ends the podcast, she doesn't have to worry about the normal sign-off stuff. So of course, find us on social media if you're interested, especially if this is something that impacts you and you want to reach out to Abby. I know she'll tell you this, but she would love to talk to you. So her Instagram is at foxylady, foxylade. And she loves interacting with people on that. And so, yeah, feel free to reach out. As always, I'm going to say it now because I know Abby won't say it. Go make a podcast with your friends and family. But yeah, thanks for listening. And here's Abby and her story. I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, y'all, it's Abby. So like Josh said, it's going to look a little bit differently tonight, but I am also very excited and very passionate about what I get to talk about on our podcast tonight. So it's going to be different. I think I like when he asks clarifying questions, but I first want to say I don't really think that I have really talked about, like literally physically talked about kind of mental illness, mental health, eating disorder, depression on a platform like this. I've posted about it a little bit on Instagram, maybe a little bit writing about it on my blog, potentially, just kind of like shorthand stuff, little snippets of my story. But I think it's really important. It is my testimony. It is how Jesus just came in and wrecked my life in the midst of me being in so much pain and hurt. I'll give a little bit of backstory. I was a dancer for a lot of my life, pretty much from the time I could walk. My parents were like, let's, you know, I'll just put her in dance. I also did soccer and just kind of just like weaved soccer out of my life because I had to choose. And I loved dance. I loved it so much. I started out in a decent sized studio in Indianapolis, just competing, doing jazz, tap, ballet, modern, point, lyrical, just kind of the whole gambit. And then competing since I was like six or something like that. And I loved it. And then it was just fun, and I was decent at it, and it was something that I could put my heart into, and I practiced hard, and I loved dancing. It was just my first email address was live, breathe, dance, 5678. So if that tells you how much I loved it, I don't know. Started dancing very young, and really started taking it seriously very young, and I started to fall madly in love with ballet. and Point, and I started On Point, which is, for those of you that don't know what that is, it's the wooden shoes that people stand on their toes on. I started doing that around the age of 12, kind of when my muscles had matured more and like my ankles and stuff were all strong, and it was kind of a good time for me to be able to move on to that. And I loved it. I loved how graceful I was, how it made me feel, the hard work I had to put into it to make it look so effortless. Like, I fell in love with it. It was like, it was all of me. It just started to consume every bit of what I loved and what I did. And man, I was at a competition studio, but I was also at a pre-professional ballet company in Indianapolis at that time. I was about 12. And around the age of 13, 14, I was in my first Nutcracker production. I can think back, and I just loved it. I was so elated to be able to do that and just so excited for that opportunity. But it quickly became something of an obsession. It was all of my identity was as a dancer. It's all I did. I went to school. I left school right away and went to dance for hours most nights. And so at that point, I was 14 years old, and I decided that I was done with the competitive circuit. I had had a really great run with it, and I was enjoying it, but I wanted to focus solely on ballet. And so I joined this pre-professional company. I'll leave it off the podcast as to not bash them. I wanted to go there full time. So at 14, I went to my first ballet intensive away from home with Louisville Ballet, and had an incredible, I think it was almost 6 weeks. It was a lot of the summer there. And at that point, I didn't know exactly what I was diving into, but I started to kind of contract this eating disorder of binging and then restricting. I would restrict my diet. I would dance for 9 hours a day at this intensive, and then I would restrict my diet to lettuce and lemonade for lunch and dinner. And then on the weekends, I would binge and eat a bunch of like junk food and like bread and stuff. And then I would go back and forth doing that. At this point, I was 14 years old, and I had no idea what I was doing. I wasn't consciously making these decisions. I just knew that I needed to be skinny, and that just kind of seemed like a good idea. I didn't have a name for it. I didn't have like, oh, this is an eating disorder. Like, this is restriction. This is, you know, binging. And I had no idea what those words were at this point, except for my parents came back and picked me up, and they were like, have you eaten in all these weeks? And I'm like, yeah, of course I did. I'm a fairly small human in general. And so probably seeing me at 14 might've been a shock for them. So anyways, that was the start of, a 6 to 7 year long, very, very painful journey. From that point on, I got this, I came back to Indianapolis and started the fall, and I was a freshman, sophomore in high school at this point, which is where things got really, really bad. I got a role, a main lead role in the Nutcracker for that winter. I was Dewdrop, and I was also part of Marzipan as the lead, and for those of you that know ballet, you'll know what those are. And I wanted to do it perfectly. I wanted to be so beautiful. I just wanted my feet to work well and my turns to be perfect and my body and everything. And and at this point, as a woman, as a girl, you're usually hitting puberty. And I'm be very honest, I hadn't hit that yet. And because I was dancing so much, and so I really didn't have to worry about all that kind of stuff, which was kind of nice for me at 15 years old and 15, 16. And but I remember specifically this one practice. It was like an 8-hour Saturday practice. You were getting very close to performance time, and there was a turn section that I was really having a really hard time with, and my instructor stopped in the middle of my turn section and looked at me, mocked me in front of probably at least 30 other students that were in the room with me, and told me, mocked the position that I was making and told me that I looked disgusting, and that I needed to go and practice it over and over and over again until I got it perfect. And that was the turning point for me. This woman had played such a huge role in my life and began to abuse her role in my life very much after this point. And so I literally remember the switch in my brain that said, no matter what it takes, I will be perfect, no matter what. And guys, I worked on that role. I dreamed about that role. I had nightmares about that role. I would do the steps in my sleep. I had my point shoes on until my feet were literally just bleeding everywhere, and like blisters and toenails falling off and bleeding. Like, I worked my ass off. Can I say that? You might have to edit that out. But I did. I worked so hard, and it didn't pay off. I fell on stage because all I could hear in my head was her saying how disgusting I looked and how much I had failed. And at this point, I had also started restricting my diet, counting calories hardcore. I had another girl in my group who was actually helping me count calories and would give me like a cracker so that I wouldn't pass out on stage. But I fell because my body was so weak. And I was actually getting really sick, like colds and stuff, and like my body was just slowly shutting down. So that was the beginning of a conscious decision to start restricting and dive into anorexia. And so I did, dove in headfirst, and didn't look back for many, many years. I'll be honest, I don't remember a lot of my time between probably about 16 to 19 years old. It seems very dark and very black, like memories wise. With an eating disorder, it's not even about the food. It's about the control. There was a lot of things in my life that felt very out of control at that point. Stuff at home, stuff at dance, stuff with friendships and relationships and boys and all this kind of stuff, and high school and grades and all this. I felt so out of control, and the way that I could control everything that I felt was by restricting my eating, which then led to severe depression, because when you're not feeding your brain doesn't work properly. And so I was extremely depressed, and I was also a self-harmer. I cut all the time. Those are some of the darkest memories I have, were moments where I was just so hopeless. I was so hungry. I was so angry. I was so sad, and I didn't have any idea what to do with all of it. So I felt like I deserved to hurt myself, in any physical way, because it took away from the emotional pain that I couldn't handle. And so, honestly, a lot of those things are common to go together. Any kind of dysmorphia of viewing your body mixed with depression and self-harm and suicide. I did have thoughts of suicide within this. I never did anything, never made any actions towards that, I guess, technically. I honestly thought that my life and everyone else's life would have been completely better if I was never in it. So maybe that sounds really dark, and for those of you that are listening, this is very real, and many, many people deal with these thoughts. So I just want to be honest that this was something that I was deep in, and it was so painful. I was seeing two psychologists, or counselors. I was seeing my counselor, my psychiatrist, and then a dietitian at the same time. Once I decided that I needed help, once it got so bad, I would look in the mirror and I would find things that I hated and hurt them, or speak really, 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 really cruel words over myself. because I thought that's what I deserved. If I ate food, I would hurt myself if I went over what my calorie count was at this point. And I was in high school. I was trying to keep my calorie intake to under 500 calories a day. If you know anything about that, that's insane. And I was also still dancing at this point, and I would also go work out afterwards. I'm not going to get into much to it about how this affected my family. That's very, very personal, and I don't think should be shared on this kind of platform. But I will say it was awful, and it was terrible for everyone involved. And so much healing had to take place afterwards. And probably even more as years to come. And, so yeah, that was a lot of my sophomore, junior year. My grades were awful at school, and that's not the kind of student I was. I didn't have the brain capacity. I mean, like my psychiatrist said if I didn't start eating, they were going to take away my license because I would get dizzy while I was driving because I wasn't eating, which makes me a very dangerous driver. My parents asked me to stop dancing, which wrecked my world. Not saying this to put blame on them, because I needed to stop. It was literally tearing my life apart. But I mean, like, I remember going to dance for like 4 hours one night, and then going home and going to work out and run on the treadmill, and I fell off the treadmill because I hadn't consumed enough calories that day to sustain anything. Let alone working out. And I think at that point I knew that I was really having a problem, but it's so addicting. It's so, like, the number on, I didn't have any scales, like, I wasn't allowed for any of that. It was just a mess. I was a mess. I was depressed. I was harming myself in so many different ways. And then I did start going to counseling. I want to say fairly early on. I guess. I don't remember exact timelines when I started counseling. Of course, I went kicking and screaming for a little while because eating disorders are very tricky. It is a mental game, and it is the most rude and atrocious mental game to play. Because if you eat, you hate yourself. If you don't eat, you know you're doing something wrong, but you can't fix that because you can't eat. And then the little voice in your head that tells you how ugly you are and how terrible you are just screams at you anytime you look at food, you think about food, every time your stomach growls. And at this point, my stomach wasn't growling anymore because my hunger and my, like, full cues of my stomach were completely jacked. And I just didn't know when I was actually hungry. I would had just kind of pushed past that point of knowing when I should eat. And so, honestly, once you get past that, it's like you've gotten past the hardest part of not eating. And so with counseling, I honestly will say that I believe that the Lord used that to save my life. I was a terrible patient. I wish I could go back and tell my psychiatrist specifically and my dietitian, I'm sorry that I was so mean. I hated going to see them. I was spiteful, and I was angry with them because, well, they made me eat and they made me gain weight, and they threatened to put me into inpatient care, and he told me I would never have babies if I kept down this road, because at this point I wasn't doing normal things that normal girl bodies did, so like at all. So that was going to be one of the first things to go was being able to have kids if I kept down this road. I want to try to make this a little bit more concise. I went to counseling. It saved my life. I started to make my own appointments because it was so good. The eating disorder, I like to describe it as, it's like a tree. There's roots to this tree which go way, way, way past the fact that I didn't want to eat food. The roots where I needed control, there were things in my life that were very, very painful for me to deal with, that didn't make sense, and I didn't know how or where to put my emotions or how to deal with them. So those are my roots. And then you got the trunk, which is kind of where all the problems start to manifest, and it's just thick, and it's just, it's, it just shoots you up ready to just like create so many other obstacles in your life. And that turned into the cutting and the depression and the not eating and the restricting and the anorexia. Those I like to describe as like leaves off this tree. Because the thing was, is that even if I ate food, that didn't fix the problem. Even if I gained weight, that didn't fix any of the problems. It honestly made them worse. It made my depression worse. It made me want to self-harm more. It made my brain go nuts. Like, I just felt psycho, honestly. And anybody who has a mental illness or has dealt with any type of eating disorder will understand what I'm saying. You just feel psycho sometimes because it's so freaking hard to get over the mental hump of being able to eat and then to deal with what's actually underneath the food, quote, the food issue. And so, I mean, years of counseling. Probably at least 4 to 5 in between different counselors. My first counselor, I love her, and I wish I could somehow tell her thank you. She was not a Christian, and I went to a Christian counselor, and they honestly made it worse. They just told me I was an angry person and that everything was my fault. Super helpful, right? But my other counselor, I call her my secular counselor. Her name was Dr. Yamanika, and she was so good. She was helpful, and she helped me heal, and she helped me think differently, and I journaled so much, and I worked through just different exercises to help my mental health kind of get back into check. I did go on antidepressants for a little bit, but then I left for YWAM. I was at a much better place by the time I graduated high school. I had a little bit more of a handle on things. At least I had steps to take if I was going to start falling back into really bad habits. So I left for Montana, and I had someone that was with me and would eat with me and stuff and just really be accountable to me. And I did quite well while I was there. But when I came home for my first stint at YWAM, I relapsed pretty hard. Got myself in a really, really bad relationship, who was honestly quite emotionally abusive, and then I relapsed pretty hard when that ended as well, just because of how awful it was. And, so yeah, the cutting came back, the eating came back, all of it reared its ugly head again, the depression was quite severe again. And then I left again for Montana, and I actually went to a dance school, and I was terrified. I was terrified to go because, dance had brought so much pain into my life, and I hadn't had any kind of reconciliation with it, even though it was something I had loved for so many years. And those 9 months were the most healing and just such a season of reconciliation with dance, and watching dance actually bring healing into my life again. Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. I at first hated the school. Honestly, it was so tough. It really was. It was a tough school. It was a weird school. It was one of the hardest 9 months of doing something ever that I'd had to that point. And the Lord taught me so much through it. So all that to say, after that, at this point I was getting in a much, much better place. The thoughts weren't there as much. I was not self-harming. I would have said by then I was about a year and a half clean of cutting. And I had cut a couple more times after that when Josh and I got married, because I just felt like there were some lingering things. I'm going to consider them just bad spirits, honestly, demonic spirits. From my past that would just rear up and say, hey, this is how you deal with your pain. This is how you've always dealt with it. This is how you deal when you think that you have messed up and you should be punished. So I actually got prayed for by some dear friends. I don't even know how many, like probably at least 3-4 years ago. And I haven't had an urge to do anything like that since. Haven't had an urge to restrict my diet. And it's not like And Josh was super helpful with this, with my eating disorder. He was super understanding, and he, I don't know, he was just very compassionate with it, and gentle with me about it. So that's like my story. It's weird. It's jumbled, and there was so much else in it that was so heartbreaking and just terrible and dark. And but I don't regret it, because I've never seen the Lord work so miraculously in my life before than that. Like, I literally almost walked away from my faith because I didn't think that God could allow someone that he, quote, loved and created to go through something so horrible, to go through a process of hating themselves so deeply that they didn't see a way out. I was like, how is that possible? And I mean, that was just my flesh speaking at that point. But literally, God just pursued and pursued and pursued and pursued me. I didn't see it. I didn't see it because I didn't see anything that was going on around me. I was just so hungry and angry, and sad. But I can see now, like, how much he never left. He never went anywhere. He was always there. And I've been able to go back in prayer moments and ask the Lord, where were you in this moment? Where were you when my dance teacher told me how disgusting I was? And he showed me the picture of exactly where he was in that room. And I just wept. I wept after I saw that. I asked the Lord where he was in different moments when I was speaking terrible, terrible death over myself and terrible words and cutting. And I asked him where he was, and he showed me, and it was like, he never left. He never left me, ever. I don't want to make this all faith-based, because I know, I'm hoping that maybe some people listen that maybe don't have a relationship with Christ, and that's okay. And so what I want to say with this is that your story as well as mine matters, and it's, like Josh said, it's National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. And people need to be aware that depression is real, that suicide is real, that self-harm is real, that eating disorders, no matter what shape or size they come in, are so, so real. And they are painful, and they are such a process to overcome. But I want to sit here and also say that they can be overcome. Yes, sometimes I look at a scale and I don't like what I see. I've had two babies. I have stretch marks on my stomach. My skin is not tight like it used to be. I have extra things and fat in places I've never had before. And yeah, that's hard sometimes. That's real freaking hard to cope with, because I was so obsessed. I was so obsessed with what my body used to look like. And I am learning how to be so thankful for the fact that my body, that potentially could have never created life, was able to create life. Like, my body that I hated and I spoke so terribly and treated so miserably turned around and said, no, I'm gonna give you life. I'm gonna give you two of the biggest joys of your entire world. That's just insane. It's miraculous, honestly. And so with this awareness, people need to be, with this week of awareness, I'm asking you to be aware of people around you, people that are hurting, people that do struggle with mental illness. It's not like the cool thing. It's not like people are making it up. Like, it's a real thing, and it should be taken very seriously. People need to know that they're loved. People need to be listened to. People don't need to be talked at. People don't need to be thrown medicine at. We're humans. We're still humans, but we have just got something in our brains that's not firing right, and we just need help. And so it's important for people to be there to help. Don't preach at people with mental illness. Don't preach at people with eating disorders to just eat. That's not the problem. It goes way deeper than that. If anything, you just gotta be there. You just gotta be there. I needed more of that in my life. When I was 16 and so lonely and so just hurting so bad, I think I needed a little bit more people being there. I had two people in my life that were very solid, that came in, but I lost a lot of friendships in that time as well. Or they just kind of, they were just very pushed to the side because they didn't know how to have relationship with people. So, if you're listening to this and you struggle with an eating disorder, just know that I understand, and I'm a real human with a life, and I don't have great days sometimes. I still don't. I just want to let you know you're not alone. And that's not, I know it can sound cliche, but maybe a voice saying that and not just words on a page or on an Instagram post might mean a little bit more. So if you know someone who's dealing with this, give them a hug. Let them know you're there. Go through the process with them. It's a process. It's not an overnight thing. It took me almost 6 years to even start to get a grasp on it. Just go gently with your friends that are dealing with mental illness. I should probably wrap this up. I wrote a letter to my 16-year-old self the other day. Josh encouraged me to do that. And my goodness, it brought up so many emotions as I was writing it. But I want to read it on here. To my 16-year-old self, just think back to when you were 10. Genuinely happy, innocent, creative, carefree. When you had no idea that your identity, your whole being, could be so dangerously consumed by one addicting thing. See, at 10, your ignorance really was bliss. But at 16, you no longer can be ignorant or ignore it anymore because your pain is too real. And that breaks my heart. I see that what you've most loved, what you've dedicated so much time and practice into, has broken your body. It's destroying you. And I'm so sorry that that has happened. What you create with your body is so beautiful, and I wish you could see that in the reflection of the mirror. I know that the expectations placed on you and the words shouted at you and the glaring looks of disappointment from those who say they love you are much more than you can bear right now. I wish I could take away those scissors and hold your shaking hands and let you cry and sob on my shoulder because I understand you. I wish I could have bottled up all the darkness swarming around you and locked it away so it never attacked you again. I wish that when you looked in the mirror and you yelled hateful words at yourself, that I could have placed a new lens, a new filter over your eyes, so that you could truly see how wonderful you are. I wish I could have sat next to you at the dinner table, as you sobbed in pain over a plate of food in front of you. I would have held your face in my hands and told you, I see you and I know, and you're gonna be okay. What I wish more than anything is that you would have known how loved you are. How deeply, truly, perfectly, and intensely loved you are. That life never would have been better without you. That you were needed. That you were fully enough. That you weren't damaged goods. That you were an overcomer. And that you were strong. Beautiful girl, your obsession with perfection is not worth your pain. And your need for control is not worth losing your life. There's hope, there is healing, there's recovery. You are not alone. And on the days that seem too low to keep going, remember it's all just one day at a time. It's just saying yes to one life-giving alternative that brings you one step closer to absolute joy and fullness. You may not understand it all now, but you will, because I know that you were brave, that you were courageous, and you never give up. I love you, beautiful. Please never forget that. Sincerely, your 25-year-old self. And so as I wrote that, I was just imagining just very pivotal points in my walk through anorexia and depression, and I just wanted to get it out in words. And so it doesn't matter what age you are, if you're dealing with this, I understand you. And you were really loved, really, really, truly loved as a human, as someone in pain, as someone dealing with something. And I just hope you hear that. It doesn't have to be eating disorder, any type of mental illness. I mean, just, I hope you hear that. And I hope you know that it comes sincerely. You're not meant to walk this journey alone, and you never should have to. So maybe some of you really resonated with that letter. I might write it out and put it somewhere. It was really special to be able to write that. So again, thank you for listening. I hope my story wasn't too harsh for your ears to hear. And I wanted to be honest. I try to keep myself as honest as possible. I think it's important. So, and thank you for bearing with just hearing my voice tonight, and not, you know, Josh being a part of this, but it's NEDA week. That's what it's called, National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. So I just wanted to spread love and awareness to those that are in the battle against an eating disorder this week. So sending so much love, positive vibes to those of you pushing through. You're so strong. You're so badass. And you're going to be okay. Thank you so much for tuning in to our podcast tonight. Josh covered all the ending things. So thank you. Hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day.